Now let's turn in our Bibles back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And you remember this morning we began looking at the subject of growing up from this portion of the Word of God. We want to go back there, read the text verses, and continue and finalize on what we began this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now something I didn't say in the intro this morning, I do want to just briefly mention this evening, and that is that it appears from reading those two verses that you should be able to tell that growing up in the Lord Jesus Christ will provide you with a safety net against falling victim to the false doctrine and the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that also opens up a door that makes us to realize that there are a lot of religious fanatics in the world, and maybe those who are not quite so fanatical, that have their own spin on the Christian religion, and they would teach you things that are not in the Bible, things that are not true, things that have to do with human craftiness and cunning, things that make merchandise of you, as Peter, I believe, put it in a place. And so we need to be aware of that and be aware of the fact that maturing in the Lord will give us a great shield of defense against falling victim to those kinds of things. Brothers and sisters, if you know your Bible and you learned it by the Spirit of God, it'll go a mile in protecting you against somebody trying to force off on you some kind of false doctrine. You'll know whether it's true or not, and you'll be able to defend your position and your belief about it from the Word of God. So we want to remember that as we talk about growing up in the Lord. Now this morning, we looked at the fact that growing up implies that there's a time when and a condition and a state in your Christian life that you need to grow up from and grow out of. And we went into detail about that immature state that God's people are found in from the moment that they're saved until such time as they mature into some level of adulthood in the Lord. And so we thought about that, and we looked at that, and we considered some facts about it, and we looked at the fact that growing up has certain evidences attached to it that we were made aware of, and those evidences essentially have to do with the fact that we become more spiritually minded and less carnal minded. We begin to think more on things from a spiritual vein, and we kind of move away from thinking on things with a carnal slant to them. We even carnal things will be considered from a spiritual angle. And the things that we thought were spiritual in days when we were spiritually immature, they will grow in spiritual reality and spiritual magnitude. And we'll begin to see things in such a way that we begin to see the well-rounded spiritual ramifications of the things that we look at in the Lord. So that's where we got to this morning, and we want to look as a third point in our subject of growing up. We want to look at the fact that growing up in Christ results from a certain influence, and that influence is manifested in the words of these verses. He says again, and I read to you, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, or in other words, rather, speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. Speaking the truth in love is our keystone phrase that shows us how and what influences cause us to grow up in Christ. The influence is all about two things. Speaking the truth in love and growing up into Christ, speaking the truth and speaking that truth in love. So there's two elements. One of them I call an action element, and the other one I call an attitude element. Speaking the truth is your action element. In love is the attitude element. Put them together and you have the divine recipe for growing up in the Lord. And I don't believe that God's people can mature the way they ought to in the Lord, growing up in Christ, unless they're willing to talk about the things of Christ. Now I know that different ones of us have different levels of backwardness, hesitance about talking about the things of the Lord. It's not because we don't feel the things of the Lord in our soul, but many times we don't feel qualified to talk about the things of the Lord. But you know, we find that the Bible teaches us that we testify of the things that we know. And that's all we're bidden to do, is testify of the things that we know. So if you don't feel qualified to get into in-depth exegesis of Scripture, talk about the things that you know. You know that Christ saved you. You know what it felt like. You know the joy that came to you when it happened. You know how He's brought you to trust Him more and more. These are simple, elementary things that you can talk about. And when you do talk about them, it promotes maturing in your life. Because it is the matter of speaking the truth in the right way that causes it to come to pass. So then the process that we're talking about involves action born of the right inward attitude on the mature believer's part. We speak the truth, and we speak that truth in love. Now, this thing has a lot bigger facts, a lot larger fact about it than we at first see, because when we think about speaking the truth and we think about talking to others about the truth, you have to realize that you can take the truth out of God's Word and use it like a battering ram. You can use it like a club. You can use it like a sledgehammer. And in doing that, you speak the Word well enough, but you may not be speaking it in love. And that's why the way of growing in maturity has a two-part process to it. Speaking the Word and speaking it in love. So every time that you have an opportunity to say something about the Word of God, whether it be to a lost person or a saved person, you kind of need to weigh your words and weigh your attitude. Sometimes you want to come down on folks like Elijah did against the prophets of Baal at the altar that they showed forth all of that effort to get Baal to do something with their offering. You want to come down upon them and call fire from out of heaven down on them to destroy them. A lot of times we get that attitude about really, really mean lost sinners. Really, really evil men. We want to see God just strike them dead. And that's our first thought sometimes, because really that would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it? If every time an evil person got so wicked and so influential in his wicked life that he was impacting negatively the lives of thousands or millions of people, we get to thinking, well, you know, if God would just strike him dead, He'd create a big vacancy there. He'd put an end to all that wickedness. But the truth of the matter is, even if we feel that that person being taken away from off the earth would be a good solution, we still, when we have opportunity to speak to such as those, need to remember to speak the Word of God in love. That'll get more done than anything else. You can threaten him with the Word of God. And you know, sometimes threatening can be done in a spirit of love. And you can get the message across. So there's nothing wrong with reminding the lost sinners that they're going to face the great judge of all the earth someday. That's a message of love. Because it's in love that you go to them. Otherwise, just keep your mouth shut and one day you can watch them thrown into hell and be done with it. Sooner or later, they'd get there. But when you take the time to speak to folks about the Lord, speaking the truth in love is very important. And then there's another aspect of that speaking the truth in love that really more fits the pattern I believe that the Lord is describing here. And that is when you're trying to fellowship with fellow saints of God and share time and share the things of God with them, it's important that you speak to them in the highest condescension and the greatest love that you can show, and make sure they understand that what you're sharing with them, you're sharing with them because you love them and you want them to have the truth about those things also. And then, regardless of how that brother or sister takes what you speak in love, this thing of speaking the truth in love has a powerful effect upon growing children of God. It just works that way. The Word of God, given to the heart and the ears of a child of God, just has a salutary impact that nothing else can have. And it causes a kind of effect upon true children of God that nothing else can have. Now, you might labor with someone who's made a profession of faith for years and years, and you sweat blood to try to get them to understand scriptural truths. And after years of dealing with them and praying for them and telling them what the Bible says about certain things, they're right where they were when you started. They may not be saved. Don't get discouraged. Because we don't know, and nobody knows but God, whether someone who's professed Christ is saved or not. They may be as lost as geese, and all of our efforts seem to be falling on dead ground, which it is. But God may bring forth life out of you continuing to sow the Word regardless. And so, don't get discouraged because professed Christians don't seem to get the message at all. Don't get discouraged. Just keep on and pray for them and ask God to use the Word to do something for them. And God will use that Word. Now, it may not be the way you might have thought, but He'll use the Word and He'll get things done. But for children of God, you can just mark it down that speaking the truth in love has a great effectual working on the hearts of those that you speak to. Whether it's a speaking to them about how you're filled with the wonderful blessings of the Lord, or whether you're speaking to them about things that they need to consider out of the Word of God to make their life a better life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter. However you're speaking to them, it'll have its effect, and it will get things done for Jesus' glory, for your upbuilding, for your maturity, and for their maturity. So while you're speaking the truth in love, you're growing, and true children of God that you're speaking to about it are growing. In love, again I emphasize, because that's one of the most important aspects of this speaking, to speaking the Word of God in love. Now, I want you to notice, if you look quickly at our text verse, that this directive given by the apostle, it's not given as a commandment about behavior. It can work that way, and we ought to take it that way. We ought to take it as a directive from God, that in which the Lord is saying, when you speak the Word of God, the Word of truth, I want you to speak it in a spirit of love. That's what I'm telling you to do. But what I want you to notice is it's not really in here for that reason. It's in our text for another reason. And that reason is that it's given, again I reiterate, as a formula for growing up into Christ. That's what it's there for. It's saying, do you really want to grow up in Christ? Speak the Word in love. Now I know there's several other ways that help your growth. I've mentioned studying the Word of God. I've mentioned prayer. I've mentioned meditating upon the Word of God. But in this portion of the Scripture, it's talking about one of the elements for growing up in Christ that we really need to pay attention to. Speaking the truth in love. And so, it's here the formula for growing up spiritually. Now I want to leave you with that fact that it is a formula for that purpose, and that purpose is what we need to think about as we look at the idea and think about the idea of speaking the truth of God to the lost, to the saved, to fellow church members, to those that are outside. Now, the last point we want to look at is that fact that growing up results in some level of spiritual adulthood. I want to emphasize this again, although I've rolled back over it a number of times during the course of this message. I want to emphasize the fact that growing up within itself implies growing into some level of adulthood. Now, this morning I partially quoted Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, but I want to quote it again because it has relevance to this thing of developing into an adult child of God. You remember this morning that I said that the Bible, that the apostle jumped on some people, that he said to them, for the time that you've been Christians, you should be teachers, but you have need that I teach you again. Well, here's the word from Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, the apostle was saying here, I looked at you, and I expected you to be at least young adults in the Lord. But what I find is that you've become something else. And that word become such, or phrase become such, in that verse, it kind of like slaps you in the face because it reminds you that these people have moved from where they were when they were saved to another state. And that state the apostle was expecting to be some level of spiritual adulthood. But what they'd become instead was what's supposed to be adults, but still needing milk. They were supposed to be at the place they could eat meat, but they were still drinking milk. And so this verse of Scripture strongly suggests that God's people, as I said this morning, God's people can go on for years as spiritual infants or spiritual juveniles or spiritual adolescents and never get to a level of adulthood. It's a threat, brothers and sisters, that we need to watch out for. And the threat will cease to be a threat and become a reality if we as God's people don't coach ourselves to be willing to think on the things of God and read the Word of God and pray about the Word of God and speak the truth of God in love. Do you ever notice today among Christians how little talk there is about the Bible? It's the second or third subject we talk about. It's not the first. Now, I'm not condemning us visiting and talking about things that interest us out there in the world. We fellowship in those things and have a lot of fun talking about ball games and Obama and whatever else there is to talk about. It seems like that's all there is to talk about nowadays. But really, when we begin to think on things that are important to talk about and things that really give relevance to our lives and really are strong points of interest that should be common points of interest for us, the truth of God is one of those things. And we ought to find ourselves willing to talk about the Word of God often to whoever will share it with us, will share in the conversation with us about it, because that's one of the elements, as I've already said, for growing up in the Lord. Now, this thing of needing or feeding on the meat of God and becoming teachers of the good Word of God is important because it is a great earmark of spiritual maturity, spiritual adulthood. You might say, well, I hadn't been given a burden to preach, to teach, or to preach. Well, that's okay. If you're a child of God and you've got people around you that are loved ones, you have a teacher's position right where you're at. Without being a teacher in the Sunday school, or without being a teacher in any kind of church function, You have a teacher's position right where you are, because there's always a child to teach. There's always a loved one to share something with that they might be taught about it. There's always some place to teach folks about the Word of God. And so the capacity that you can use, the capacity to teach and to share adult spiritual things with people, goes beyond the building walls of a church, and it goes into daily living. And you know, in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, the Apostle Paul, 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul was talking about that very thing. This is what he was talking about when he was talking about a kind of spiritual maturity. And he uses the aged women here as an example of this. And in it, he gives us a good quick lesson on how God's people maturing in the Lord need to consider themselves teachers and think on the things of God, and if you will, speak the truth in love. He says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Now, I know that none of us, especially you ladies, don't want to consider yourself aged. That word has broad usage and can mean any of you that are over 39 or 39. Most of us get to 39, and that's all the further we get. But if you've gotten to 39, it can apply to you. You're an older person, and so it can apply. The apostle assumed here that the aged women in the church had matured in the things spiritual. And so he says, "You aged women, be teachers of good things." And notice how they're to teach, that they may teach the young women. There's always some younger women than you in the church or in your family that you can teach. Men, same applies. I could just put men here and man and have the same charge from God, because it applies just as well. It might just as well have said that the aged men be teachers of good things, that they may teach the young men to do some things. So, always there's a position. Teach the young women to be sober. Young women need that. Sometimes young women are kind of silly. They act silly. Some of you older women that have younger daughters, you already know that's the way they act. And at least in your estimation, that's the way they act. And I was the same way. I always felt like my kids acted a little silly sometimes. And now that they're mature and in their 30s, I think they act silly a lot of the time. And you probably do too. So, that they teach, you see, the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. You know, there's a knack to loving a husband. And you older women, you know how to do that if you've followed God's rules and you've matured, grown up in the Lord. You know how to do that. And it's not a complicated lesson. You just teach the younger women that might come your way, might pass under your teaching, how to attend to their husband, to have an adoration for him, to be thankful to God for him, to see after his needs, to take care of him the way that only a wife can do, to love their husband, to love their children. You might think, well, loving children comes natural to mothers. Doesn't either. The Bible teaches us that it doesn't come natural. The Bible teaches that there is some natural instinct about our babies, but we're not taught naturally how to love our children. We may be taught in a very small amount of ways how to sustain, give our children basic survival necessities, but we're not taught how to love our children the way we ought to. You older women, you know how to do that. You've learned through trial and error and through listening to mama, and through listening to the Word of God, you've learned how to love your children. And you love your children better than your daughters love their children. I can tell you that right now, because you learned that way. If you've been listening to God, listening to mama, and looking around in the world and using your head for something besides a ponytail, You've learned how to love your children. And so, to love their children, you can teach the younger women how to do that. To be discreet. You know, discretion is almost lost in our society. We have a whole lot of loud women out there in the world that can't be happy unless they're sitting at the president's desk, the president of the company, or the chief executive officer's desk, or whatever it is of a high position. We've got that going on all around us, and those positions and those activities among women on earth, that's exactly the opposite of this Greek word discreet here. It's exactly the opposite. Discretion means using wisdom and prudence and understanding in occupying your place as a woman. That's what that means. And God teaches you how to do that. And when you speak the truth of God in love, you grow up when you think on the things of God and pray over the Word of God and study the Word of God and look around you and use some common sense, you get to the place that you can come to the truth about this thing of being discreet. Being chaste, that is morally pure. Being keepers at home. The women are assigned to the task of taking care of the house. It's just that simple. Now, it doesn't mean that daddy can come in and store his clothes everywhere he wants to. And I'm afraid some of us men are bad about that. My wife got me trained after 40 years to the place that I pick up most of my stuff and put my shoes away in the closet. And I even make her coffee for her every morning. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm not looking for a job. I'm just telling you how it is. And it took her a long time to do that. But I was sensitized to those things because she complained about my abuse of her in a very nice way, a very loving way. She complained about it. And I had the sense from the Spirit of God to listen and say, I believe she's telling me something here. I better take this message to heart. So I started doing better. And over 40 years, I've gotten better. And I think she'll testify that she's gotten me almost fully trained. And I'm glad she has. Now, if I can just get her trained, we'd be good to go. But no, I'm just making a joke there. She's all that I could ever wish for in a wife, a loving wife who knows how to be discreet and chaste and a keeper at home. Good, obedient to their husbands. Now, that's something that's gone out the window nowadays. You men neglect your responsibility to help your wife accomplish what she's supposed to do as a keeper at home. And some of you ladies may be, to this very day, disobedient to your own husbands. That's a no-no. It's just a no-no. The Bible teaches more than just right here that wives are to be obedient to their husband. You might say, I'm never going to listen to any man. I'm never going to take orders from any man. I've heard women literally say that with their fist on their hip. Now listen, that's not the attitude God teaches His ladies to have. He teaches them to be obedient to their own husbands. That's the truth of the matter. And they can learn that by attending to the Word of God. And you begin talking. Ladies, if you have a trouble with obeying your husband, let me suggest something to you. This is a surefire solution. Go home tonight. Sit down across the table with your husband. Put the Bible between you and start talking about being obedient to your husband. Speaking the truth in love. See what happens. I'll guarantee you that the Word of God will draw you to an agreement together on what that means. And that'll be the start of something that'll be glorious for the Lord. We need that a lot in America today. We find that woman's liberation has gone the wrong path. I believe in woman's liberation. I do. Call it women's liberation if you want to. I believe in it. I believe a woman should be liberated from any kind of slavery, any kind of injustice. But what I'm talking about here out of the Bible is not slavery and it's not injustice. It's just the way God set things up when He made Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. And so, we find that the apostle lays out a pattern here for how to be teachers of good things. And this is all part of speaking the truth in love. You can't very well teach if you're not willing to speak the truth in love. people will just kind of shut you off if you speak the truth out of hardness of heart, out of resentment or any other of those negative feelings. People will just shut down to you. Now, we find also there are other indicators that evidences and certain things that people becoming adults in the Lord are influenced to do as a result of this. Growing up into a spiritual adulthood also means that spiritual adults develop skill in the word of righteousness. When people mature in the Lord, they develop varying levels of skill in the word of righteousness. It gets further along than just being able to spit out some verse of scripture. You can also explain that verse of scripture to the unlearned. You can actually explain ramifications about that verse of scripture. So when you're caught in a moment, when somebody's looking for some truth, or somebody's just needing the truth spoken to them in love, you can not only provide scripture, a quote from the Bible, but you can tell them all the ways that should be taken and all the ways it shouldn't be taken. That's part of the process of spiritual maturation. Spiritual adults can also use the meat of God's Word because they've exercised their senses to prove what's both good and what's evil. In verse 14 of our reading in Hebrews chapter 5, that says that very plainly. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those are folks that have spoken about the Word of God, have studied the Word of God, have used the Word of God, have defended the Word of God, and have matured and are consuming the meat of the Word of God. They have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And they can distinguish between the two, and they can teach about those things. Now, spiritual adults also develop a sense of what is spiritually important. And I think this is important. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we get caught up in the moment of what we think is the need of the hour that we totally overlook what's really important in someone's life when it comes time to give some spiritual advice. It takes a little bit of in-depth looking sometimes to look beyond what the person is saying and look at what their need really is and get to the root of the matter. And that's what spiritual adults can do. They can get to the root of the matter. Somebody's complaining. You know, we hear complaints from some of our neighbors sometimes about the bad relationship between the husband and the wife. The wife may complain about it, or the husband may complain about it. And we're quick to talk about this, Diane and I are, and we both agree that it's not necessarily that the husband's bad, or that the wife's bad, or that they're both bad. What it is we look at their lives and we realize they don't have Christ in their lives. We realize they're not serving the Lord with their lives. And what we say is, the root of the problem is they don't follow Christ. If they were following Christ, all these other things would be taken care of, all in good time, because the Lord is faithful to do that. So spiritual adults can develop a sense of what is important. The Apostle Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. We have the capacity to do that as we mature into spiritual adult. And then last of all, spiritual adults, this is the good part, settle down into a more stable spiritual life. The more God's people learn about the Lord and grow in grace and knowledge of the truth and become those spiritual adults, the more they settle into a vein that makes them a stable pillar in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and makes them a solid pillar for their family and friends. They become a bastion of strength, and they're able to influence people because they've stabilized. They know what the Lord says. They know how He says it. They know what it means. They've had opportunity to say a few words to others about it, and they have something here in the back of their head to give to others if they come to them with some subject that they need to talk about. And so they've stabilized, gotten a more spiritual, more stable spiritual life. The apostle puts it like this in Colossians 1:23. He says, if you continue in the faith, what's going to happen is you're going to get grounded and settled. And you'll not be moved far away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached. So that's the sum of it right there. I want to close with this one note from an anonymous writer. And it goes like this. Maturity, and this certainly goes for spiritual maturity. Maturity is the art of living in peace with that which we cannot change. I think probably the hallmark of spiritual maturity is when God's people get to the place that regardless of how sin really grinds their gears, they still say, even so, Lord, not my will but thine. And when they get to the place where regardless of the travails, regardless of the sadnesses, the disappointments, the failures, they say, Lord, I know that this is in your divine purpose, and I yield myself to it. And I think this comes as we mature spiritually. It comes more and more to us. I've had a real hard time with that concerning politics in these days. A lot of things I can just lay it at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, I know it's your will. But I have a hard time distinguishing between what I'm supposed to fight against and what I'm supposed to just let run its course in the matter of politics and our nation's leaders. And as I said a few weeks ago in a message, I think I should make that distinction. I think I should be concerned and be ready to stand and fight and speak, but last of all, lay it in the hands of God. That's the divine rule. That's the divine recipe. That's the pattern that God wants us to follow. And when we grow up into Christ in all things, we gradually get to that place that we can do that. And life becomes a truly glorifying experience for our Lord and Savior when we do that. May God grant each one of us to be able to get there hurriedly and discover what it means to mature out in the Lord and be of much more productivity for the Lord's glory in our lives.